Good morning. And how are you?
Blessed.
So today, Jesus speaks to us through his holy word. And what he says to us should get us thinking about, you know, we need to stop sometimes and just reflect on our own lives and our own walk with the Lord. Am I doing what he asks of me? Am I living this particular way? And again, if I'm not, it shouldn't drive us insane. It should just go, okay, Lord, I got to refocus. Huh? I got to refocus so I can make sure I'm doing your will. And the two things that God talks about today in the scriptures, both the Old Testament and the gospel, is humility and generosity. Humility and generosity. Now, first, you know, he talks about when you're invited to a banquet and all that, and that's good. And, of course, he's trying to put into practice the way we live. But in the Old Testament, it begins, he says, my child, conduct your affairs with humility, and then you will be loved. And then he says, humble yourself all the more, the greater you are, and then you will find favor with God. Now, let's talk about for a moment what humility is. We start that by, number one, talking about what humility is not. Humility is not thinking of yourself that you're no good. Or, you know, I'm a worm, I'm a terrible worm. That's a false humility many, many people fall into because they think of themselves less than who they are, and that's not humility. If you think yourself that you're no good, well, then you say that the one who created you is no good. He created you to be God. My license plate in my car says you are good. Basic Catholic teaching. We were created in the image and likeness of God. And then not only were we created in the image and likeness of God, because sometimes we fail, but Jesus came and redeemed us. And since he redeemed us, we are good. So it's not a false humility. It says, I'm no good. Because what that does is keeps you focused on yourself. And that's the last thing humility does, is keeps you focused on yourself. Again, an old adage says that humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. It focuses on others, it focuses on God, and it doesn't get concerned with yourself. It isn't concerned with your own holiness or unholiness. It just forgets about you and gives yourself away to God and to others. So the first thing that God asks all of us is to be humble. And again, let's ask the Lord in our prayer, Lord, how am I doing on humility? And the greatest example of all humility next to Jesus would be Mary, right? And Mary, when she was asked to be the mother of God, she didn't say, oh, no, not me. I'm not worthy. She just said, fiat, let it be done to me. She knew who she was. She knew who God was. So after we sit there and know that humility thinks not less of ourselves, but of ourselves less, next thing it does is it focuses on God. It just focuses on God. The third thing humility does is it sits there and it accepts the truth of who we are. It's truthful. So if we say something, it would not be truthful. It would not be humble. Let's say you're a good carpenter and someone says you're a good carpenter. And you go, oh, no, I'm not a good carpenter. Well, that would be a lie if you're a good carpenter. You accept it. You say, praise God. To him be the glory. He gave me some great talents. It is a good talent, but it's all to God's glory. So it doesn't dismiss what you do. It gives glory to God. Mary, who was the mother of God, says, from this day, all generations will call me blessed. You might think, well, how humble is that? It's the humility of truth. And so then it moves on that humility becomes other-centered, and that's where generosity comes in. That humility and generosity come hand in hand because generosity is always more concerned about the other. And hear what the last line of the first reading says about almsgiving and generosity. It says, water quenches a flaming fire and alms atone for sins. And then Jesus again puts the two of them together in the gospel today when he says, who you're in to invite. So the first thing we got to do, of course, generosity is financial generosity. It's taking what we have and making sure we use it for others. And when we do that, that means more, way beyond what a lot of us think. You know, because again, let's say for instance that you had $10 and a poor person comes up to you, or I come up to you and I say, hey, listen, this guy over there, he needs $10. Can you give it to him? And you say, I'm down to my last 10 bucks. Can't do it. Because when it comes between me and them, me is most important. So, if you're there, there's no humility there, one. And two, there's no generosity there. Because when it comes right down to it, you'll only be generous if you have extra. You won't be generous if it costs you everything. And so this is what kind of God is asking us to do. That's the way he was on the cross. His generosity cost him everything. His generosity cost the Father everything. And so we got to at least have that heart. And again, you got to remember that when you and I think that if I give up everything, I'll have nothing left, that says that our faith in God isn't very real. Because God will always bless you abundantly when you and I are generous. When we're not, we'll always be worried about ourselves, always be worried about our money, always be worried about whether I can handle it or whether I can't, always be worried about me, 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 me. It keeps us focused on self, this lack of generosity. But when we think, whatever I got, you can have. Having your hands open, that's generosity. Letting God give what he wants, letting God take what he wants. Not an easy way to live life. But when we give, when God asks us to, we can always expect that he'll be more generous with us than we were with him or with others. That's a given. So the first thing, of course, is our money. The second thing, of course, is our time. That some people would gladly, you know, give their money so they don't have to give their time. Right? Those of you who went and joined this parish since I have been here the last 18 years, when we talk about tithing and different things, I always say, you got to give to God his 10%. I don't care if you give a dime to the church, but you got to give to God what belongs to God. And then I say, you got to volunteer, because God doesn't want your money, he wants you. So I say, everyone in this parish must do at least one thing for the parish every year. It's a non-negotiable. If, again, you don't give do one thing for the parish a year, you're not a giver, you're a taker. You're not generous, you're not even a Christian. You're just using the parish for what you can get out of it. You don't want to give anything except for money. Now, by God's grace, we don't have many of those type people here. But there are people who are listening to me now on the radio or my podcast that says, I don't do anything for my parish. Well, then you're a taker. You need to be a giver. It's all about what we give is what we get to keep. It isn't what we get to keep that we get to keep forever. We'll lose that forever. So again, we need to take these two things and pray about them. And just ask the Lord, be brutally honest. God, be honest with me. Don't you hate that prayer? God, be brutally honest with me so I can be holy. Am I humble? Am I generous? And if the answer is not as humble and as generous as he wants you to be, again, just say then, Lord, give me the grace that I would desire to be humble, that I would desire to be generous, because then, Lord, I'm just like you, who's humble and generous with us. You see, God wants us to be like him. And this is the way we do it. You got it? You get it? Gonna live it? May you know his love today and forever. Amen.